Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Gideon's Army is the nickname given to the Atlanta Public Defender's Office in the US, a group of lawyers called together to represent those who don't have the money to hire their own counsel in court. Gideon's Army is also now the title of a documentary based around three of those public defenders, including our next guest on Open House, Brandy Alexander. Brandy, lovely to meet you. Thank you for your time. How did your life in the Public Defender's Office begin?
I guess I became a public defender primarily to get litigation experience, but I fell in love with it once I started, and I just stayed after falling in love with it.
It's, to a certain extent, a much maligned role. The image that we have of the public defender's office is that there's an enormous caseload, that as advocates you are under tremendous stress all of the time and are woefully paid. Is any or all of that true?
All of those are true, actually. Unfortunately, all of those are true. I carried a caseload, and in Gideon's Army, you'll see that I was not alone in that. I carried a caseload of about 120 cases at any given time when I was in Georgia. And Travis Williams, one of the other public defenders featured in the film, his caseload was about 180 at any given time. So, yes, it's a lot of cases all the time. Caseloads are just staggering, and the pay is extremely low.
In fact, I understand that there were times in your life when you didn't have enough money to pay for petrol to get to court.
No, I think petrol must be gas.
Yes, that's yes, yes, it is.
No, I didn't. I would scrape up money every month. I got paid every 2 weeks back then. Now I get paid once a month, which is even more difficult. But by the end of the pay period, I was always scraping up money, sometimes change from my car to get gas.
In Gideon's Army, there's one particular client who is plotting your death should you lose their case.
Yes, I had a client charged with murder who planned my murder.
At what point did you become aware that this was going on?
I had a few clients tell me. I was well into representing him. I had been representing him for quite some time, and I had a few other clients tell me that they had talked to him and they heard him talking about it, and they were basically warning me. Once I had, I think, the third person warn me, I started to take it seriously.
What do you do when, plainly, the individual that you are representing, under tremendous duress to yourself personally, is guilty?
Well, that's something that was addressed in the film head-on. I had a very difficult time with that initially, and I don't want to go too far into it because I want people to come out and see the film without me telling how I conquered that. But ultimately, I think it boils down to the fact that everyone, regardless of what they've done, I believe there's a quote that I heard once that says that every human being is worth more than the worst thing they've ever done. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And I also believe in the Constitution of the United States of America, which says that regardless of whether you're guilty or innocent, the state has to prove you guilty beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. So before they do that, you're innocent.
And yet, during the course of the movie, you touch on child rape, and I'm not going to spoil that story line because it's important that people see what transaction takes place as that story develops. But that is that must be a terribly, at times, frustrating position for you to be in, even making the reconciliation with yourself that you just laid out for us.
No, absolutely. I now have a one-year-old daughter. Her name is Cadence Miranda, in honor of the Miranda rights back home. But that makes it even, having a daughter or a child makes it that much more difficult when I have sex cases, especially sex cases involving children. It's never an easy thing to do.
But also during the course of Gideon's Army, you canvass mandatory minimum sentences.
Uh-huh.
You're against them.
I absolutely am. Mandatory minimum sentences do a number of things that I think are defeatist to the justice system. For instance, they prevent judges from listening to or taking into account mitigating factors. So while typically mandatory minimum sentences are attached to violent crimes, they also in the United States are attached to drug crimes. And those things, I think, where drugs are involved particularly, mitigating factors need to be taken into account. violent crimes, obviously, also I feel like mitigating factors need to be taken into account. We don't know the circumstances by which someone perhaps committed a violent crime or the circumstances under which they grew up. I think that all of those things are important. But one of my biggest concerns is that I don't know what the justice system really is here in Australia, but in the United States, the justice system is not just about punishment. It's about rehabilitation as well. And I think that when you insert mandatory minimum sentences, you take out the idea of rehabilitating. You withdraw that portion of the justice system. And you prevent people essentially from getting out to live better lives. If the goal is to rehabilitate and to punish, you want to ensure that when they get out, they've served their sentence, they're better people than they were when they went in, and they're going to come out into society and be productive members of society again. When you sentence someone to a 10-year minimum mandatory sentence for, say, a drug charge, all you're doing is ensuring that they spend the next 10 years of their lives behind bars. Usually they come out being better criminals than they were when they went in. And ultimately they get out and they can't function in the society, so they have to turn back to the crimes that they were doing prior to when they went in order to survive. And it just becomes very cyclic.
You also stare down the widely held belief that minimum sentences actually dissuade criminals from taking the step into crime in the first instance.
Right. And the reason that I feel that way is because most people don't know about minimum mandatory sentences. I think that people who watch the news often and who are very well educated and discuss with their peers things that are happening in the legislature or in parliament here in Australia know about what's happening and what the laws are and how the laws are changing. But the average person charged with a crime does not. The average person charged with a crime doesn't watch the news. They don't pay attention to what's going on in parliament or in the legislature or what laws are changing and how they're changing and when they're changing. So if the idea is that we're going to attach a minimum mandatory sentence to a charge in order to ensure that we scare potential criminals into not committing these crimes, that's rather futile and ill-gotten, because these people that you're trying to deter probably don't even know about the mandatory minimum sentence that you're attaching.
You don't know this, but since Open House has returned broadcasting around Australia, one of the themes of the year that's developed almost accidentally is that of empathy. You're a big believer in it, aren't you?
I so am. I think that in order to do my work, in order to be a public defender, you have to be empathetic to your clients. There are so many things that come into play with representation. It's not just tell me what happened, tell me your side of the story, or did you do this crime or did you not do this crime. I take on the role of social worker. I'm often like a parent or a sibling to some of my clients. I mean, it's so much more than that. And if you can't empathize with a person's plight, and if you can't, if the client comes to you, you know, I've had people say to me, I stole this meat, this uncooked raw meat from the grocery store because I needed to feed my children. I haven't worked in the last year, and I've done everything I could possibly do to get a job. And I know that it was wrong to steal that meat, but I did it because how else would my kids eat? If you can't sympathize or empathize with that, if you can't feel that, then you can't properly represent them to a jury. And you can't put into that representation everything that that client is deserving of.
And yet, conversely, how do you not empathize with the owner of that particular outlet who perhaps has numerous people stealing that meat and their own families are suffering because of it?
I think you have to do that as well. I don't condone any criminal act. Please don't misunderstand me. And I don't take away from the negative consequences that befall people committing crimes, even when those crimes are somewhat understandable, as in the example that I just provided. So I absolutely do empathize with the person from whom something was stolen or the victim of a violent crime or any crime. Absolutely, you get my sympathy and my empathy. I think, however, that the punishment should meet the crime. And when we insert mandatory minimum sentences, that's just not often the case.
When the creators of Gideon's Army came to you with the idea of this documentary, it must have still been a fairly confronting thing, because you are opening your life up in all of its vivid colour. It's a deeply personal thing to allow a camera crew to follow you around in the highs and lows that exist in your average day. Did you ever give it a second thought, even during the process, and say to yourself, this is a bad idea?
No, I really didn't. I was pretty open to it. You know, I didn't expect that Gideon's Army would be what it became. It kind of blew up very quickly. And I don't think any of us, neither myself, Travis, or June, expected that. You know, when the producer, director, Don Porter, came to us and said, hey, we'd like to follow you around, we never thought she was going to be following us around for 3.5 years.
Yes.
We certainly never thought that it would be on national television in the United States or, you know, airing here in Australia. Like, it just caught us all off guard and by surprise. It was pleasantly surprising, because now, especially in the United States and obviously abroad, people are seeing the struggles that come with not just being a public defender, but with the justice system in America.
Was there anything in watching the final product that surprised you about yourself?
Yes. I don't want to give too much away. I'm very critical of myself. I think that we all probably are,
yeah.
But I'm my worst critic. And throughout the process of being recorded with Gideon's Army, the camera crew and Dawn, the director, producer, and her crew, they were all saying, Brandi, you're way too hard on yourself. You're way too hard on yourself. And I never really saw that. And I think that now I can take a step back and say, well, I am my worst critic, and maybe I am too tough on myself sometimes.